Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karabhavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So now Mahabharata, we're at the Battle of Virat. So Arjuna now has already come out. The battle plan was that all the great heroes would stand with half the army, and Duryodhana would take the other half and escape with the cows. So Arjuna then immediately drove in between the cows and Duryodhana's army and turned the army back. And so the cows then fled to the city, and Duryodhana then went to meet with the others in the army. And so then after this, then the all the different sages and everything, I mean all the demigods, they came to watch the fight. And so now Arjuna has been fighting for some time, and now he's looking at Drona and he's considering now maybe let us fight with him. Because before, Drona had asked, he gave him a benediction, he'll be the best, but he also said that, but I have one request, that if we ever do end up on the battlefield on opposite sides, that he would fight with him, right? Because otherwise, then you see is that who can fight with him? So Arjuna being the best, he would be the only worthy opponent. You know, and so knowing so much, you like to be able to use it. Arjuna looked around at the routed army and saw Drona. Feeling affection for his teacher, he ordered Virata's son to drive his chariot towards him. O prince, Drona is always worthy of my worship. In intelligence, he resembles Sukra, the guru of the demons. And his knowledge of morality is no less than Brihaspati. He has studied all the Vedas, and the science of archery resides within him. He is always ornamented by forgiveness, self-control, truthfulness, and compassion. I desire to fight with him, so advance with caution. The prince urged on his horses, and Arjuna blew his conch. Drona saw him coming and took out his own conch, giving it a mighty blast. The conches together sounded like 1,000 trumpets. Drona's red horses rose up and drew his chariot quickly forward. Seeing his preceptor approach, Arjuna was joyful. Placing his bow by his side, right, because, you know, he doesn't have it up, he puts it by his side and holds it. He called out, O gentle one, we have completed our term of exile in the forest, and now wish to exact our revenge. You should not be angry with us, O irrepressible hero. I will not strike you unless you attack first. Drona smiled at his favorite disciple. Without replying, he raised his gold-plated bow and discharged more than 20 shafts. Arjuna instantly raised his own bow and countered the arrows with astonishing speed. Drona covered Arjuna's chariot on all sides with thousands of arrows. Bhumijai swiftly turned the chariot and dropped away from Drona as Arjuna dexterously cut down his arrows. Both fighters invoked celestial weapons that spread a network of arrows that amazed the watching crew of soldiers. Right? So remember, before is that they were all fighting, and then when Karna came forward to fight directly with Arjuna, then at that time, then all the others stopped fighting. It's just the two, because it was such an amazing battle. Everyone watched. So again, now when Drona comes forward, now they're just watching again. Because in one sense, you can't say that there's something else to do, because Arjuna doesn't have any army with him. Because otherwise the armies can fight, and then just the chariot drivers, then they'll engage or watch or things like this. But it seems that he's only out there alone. So then naturally then they would all stop to watch. Both fighters invoked celestial weapons and created a net of arrows that amazed the watching Kuru soldiers. Other weapons began to appear on the battlefield as the two combatants chanted mantras sacred to various deities. Firebrands of blazing discuses were hurled from Drona's bow, but Arjuna struck them all down. He sent an even greater number of long shaft arrows towards his preceptor. Drona, smiling all the while, cut down those arrows in mid-flight. Right, their smiling means that they're so comfortable with it. You know, just their skill is so great that they can, it's not an exertion for them. They can just so comfortably deal all these different things. And all the time they're smiling because it's just one. It's just, they you know, they're inspired, you know, enthused in the fight, you know, as Kshatriyas. And two is just that it's so comfortable for them. The Kurus cheered again. And as they witnessed the prowess of both guru and disciple, they wondered at the harshness of a Kshatriya's duty that impelled the two to fight one another. Right? Because here's the guru and his best and his most favorite disciple and best disciple, but they have to fight because they're on opposite sides. Even as he fought with Drona, Arjuna kept up his attack on the Kuru army. His arrows descended on them like lightning bolts. As the fierce razor-headed shaft struck horses, elephants, and soldiers, it made a sound resembling a hard downpour of hailstones. Right? So sometimes when the hailstones get very big and they come down very heavy, then, you know, that sound, so that's the sound of the arrows. There's just so many arrows coming down. The battlefield was strewn with arms still clutching weapons and heads adorned with helmets. Golden armor and pieces of shattered chariots littered the ground. The screams of terrified soldiers filled the air as Arjuna maintained his assault. Feeling affection for his disciple, Drona displayed only some of his power. He held off Arjuna's attack on himself and sent a barrage of golden feathered arrows back at him. His shaft traveled towards Arjuna in rows, their feathers touching. Arjuna responded by releasing so many arrows that Drona's chariot became invisible. Those observing Arjuna could not discern any interval between his taking up arrows, placing them on his bow, and firing them. Even Indra, watching from the heaven, was wonderstruck. So that means it's good. If Indra is amazed, it's got to be good. Drona was totally enveloped in a thick mass of arrows that fell continuously upon him. Seeing this, the Kurus cried out, "Alas!" Ashwatthama was infuriated, and he rushed at Arjuna, bellowing out a challenge. The Pandava turned towards him and offered Drona a chance to retreat. Ashwatthama, highly skilled in battle, released an arrow that cut Arjuna's ever-twanging bowstring. The deities in the sky beheld this superhuman feat, exclaimed, "Well done, bravo!" Ashwatthama succeeded in wounding Arjuna with a number of sharp, pointed shafts decked with conch feathers. Because remember, Arjuna wasn't trying to injure Drona. You know, they were just fighting and comparable, whatever they were doing. So he was countering whatever Drona was doing, and Drona wasn't showing his full strength, and so therefore there's extra ability left that he was still fighting with the army. But then at one point he sent a shower of arrows that just you couldn't even see his cart. So then Ashwatthama, he's angry, so then he's coming out and fighting, you know, more strongly. Arjuna laughed and restrung his bow. A furious fight ensued between the disciple and son of Drona, which made the bodily hairs of the heroes who were watching stand erect. It resembled a clash between two maddened elephants. They struck one another with burning arrows that looked like serpents hissing through the air. But Ashwatthama's arrows quickly became exhausted as Arjuna fought on, his own supply being inexhaustible by the fire god's boon. Right? So even though he's fought, you know, with the original point with Duryodhana and hit that and routed them, then he fought with the army, then Karna came forward, he fought with him. Then he went back, then he fought with Drona, and then started with Ashwatthama. He has unlimited arrows. Well, then Ashwatthama, then his arrows ran out. As Ashwatthama withdrew from the fight, Karna returned and twanged his bowstring with a crash like thunder, right? So he was defeated, but, you know, he being a very strong Kshatriya, he's not about to let it go. But with him, it's more about pride rather than just purely the Kshatriya honor, right? The honor is that if it's your duty, but there are others there. But he also has that aspect. Arjuna gazed at him with coppery red eyes, hoping to kill him. He fired thousands of arrows in his direction. He then called out, "Well, Karna, the time has come for you to make your own boastful words. Make good your own boastful words. Many times you have vainly stated that there are none to equal you in battle. Fighting with me today, you will know your own strength and will never again disregard others. Without ever considering piety, you have given vent to many harsh words. Try your best to make good those insults you offered me in the assembly. You cannot defeat me. Now reap the fruit of your insult to Draupadi." Only virtue restrained me that day from extracting a terrible vengeance. Today you will feel the force of my restrained anger, held in check these last 13 years. Fight, sinful one, and let all the Kurus watch as you perish. Karna sneered. Prove yourself in battle, Partha. Right? He already defeated him already just, you know, some minutes before. You know, maybe whatever it is, some short time before, he already defeated him. And then he's sneering, prove yourself in battle. It's like, how many times is he going to do that? The world knows that your words exceed your deeds. As a result of your weakness and inability, the Kauravas have forced you to suffer. So that's the thing, he takes dharma as weakness. Like that. His whole thing is just show prowess. Because if they had followed his, he would have already been killed by Bhima. Do not bother to make excuses. Now we will all see your power when I strike you with my irresistible weapons. Even if Indra's self came to fight on your behalf, you would not escape. Right? That's already saying it. See, Arjuna just mentioned that, you know, you say all these things and, you know, now we're upset, now we're going to, but he always says these things, you know, stronger, even Indra couldn't this and that. Arjuna was derisive. You have always fled from me, and thus you will still, you still live to utter these empty words, right, because he flees, so then. Even today when you saw your brother slain, you fled. What power were you showing then? Bending the Gandiva into a semicircle, Arjuna quickly fired dozens of armor-piercing arrows that shone like fire. Karna, delighted, received those shafts with his own, intercepting every one. Again, a network of arrows spread out between the two fighters. Karna released searing shafts with unerring accuracy and pierced Arjuna's arms and hands. Unable to tolerate the attack, Arjuna cut Karna's bowstring with a crescent-headed arrow. Karna replied with a number of arrows that made Arjuna lose hold of the Gandiva. Quickly regaining his composure, Arjuna sent razor-headed shafts at Karna that cut his bow to pieces. Karna took up a fresh bow and released a fierce steel arrow resembling a lance, but Arjuna struck it down even as it left Karna's bow. Five or six powerful fighters came up to support Karna, but Arjuna slew them all. The Pandava drew his bow back to his ear and fired four steel shafts that killed Karna's horses. Another powerful arrow struck Karna on the breast, making a sound like an explosion. The arrow pierced Karna's armor and penetrated into his body. He lost consciousness and fell sideways in his chariot, whereupon he was quickly taken into another chariot by his charioteer and carried away. Right, so his horses were already killed, so he couldn't move. And so he struck him and he went unconscious. But the charioteer, because his business is to protect the warrior, and the warrior's business is to protect the charioteer. So the charioteer here then picked him up and took him to another chariot. Arjuna and Bhumijaya scoffed at the defeated Karna. Arjuna then looked around and said, right, so this is the second time directly on the same day he's defeated him, and said, take me to the place where you see the emblem of the golden Palmyra. There stands, the Palmyra. There stands our grandfather, Shantanu's son, looking like an immortal. He too desires to fight with me. Right, because he's the best, and they're the best, so they want to fight with him just to. So it's not, they're not trying to injure each other, they're just using their skills, you know, and that, and variety and all that, because otherwise where do you get to use these skills? There's no one good enough. Bhumijaya was exhausted. Gasping for breath, he replied, I do not think I can continue guiding your horses. My mind is confounded and my limbs are weak. It seems as if the four quarters are melting from the power of the celestial weapons you and the Kurus have released. I am beside myself with the sight and smell of flesh and blood. I have never before seen such a battle, right? So, because for them, because they're not using all the celestial weapons and there's not necessarily so many, it'll be a big battle. So anything that on, let's say, the modern context that, you know, someone's seen so many people out there and they're rushing at each other and everybody like that, that he's seen. But he's never seen something to this extent. The clamor has deafened me, and I feel stupefied. The twang of the Gandiva like repeated thunderclaps, and your lightning bolt arrows have rent my heart. I am consumed by fear. It appears as if the earth is shifting before my eyes, and I am losing my vitality. Arjuna consoled the prince. You are a prince in the Matsya line. It is your sacred duty to face the enemy in battle. Take heart, for you will find strength in the supreme power. The Lord is always pleased when we perform our prescribed duties with firmness and determination. guide the horses for only a while longer. I wish to face the grandsire in battle." The prince felt heartened, and he urged the steeds forward. As the chariot moved across the battlefield towards Bhishma's chariot, Arjuna continued, right? Because being Kshatriyas, then you can inspire them, right? They may feel bad, but then you speak, courageous words, and they take up that mood. So you can see he is the proper prince. As the chariot moved across the battlefield towards Bhishma's chariot, Arjuna continued, "This battle will not last much longer. The Kuru army is reeling like a wheel under the force of my weapons, and I will make a river flow towards the other world with blood for its waters, chariots for its eddies, and elephants for its aquatics. The Kuru forest with heads, arms, and tall backs for its branches will be cut down. I have obtained all the celestial weapons from the gods. Do not fear, O prince, for I will rout the Kurus and put them to flight." Right, because he's been fighting now like this, but if he just went straight after the army, then, you know. When Arjuna got within striking distance of Bhishma, he sent a hail of shafts at him. Bhishma patiently countered his arrows, and four of Duryodhana's brothers came forward to protect him. Dushasana launched a fierce attack on Arjuna. He wounded Booming Jaya with a large dart and pierced Arjuna's breast with another. Arjuna at once sent golden-winged arrows, which cut Dushasana's bow to pieces and severely wounded him in the chest. Dushasana retreated, leaving his three brothers to fight with Arjuna, right? He could have killed them, but Bhima made the vow he'll kill all 100. So therefore, Arjuna, why would he kill any of them? Because his brother will do it. Each of them were similarly injured and had to retreat. So the other three brothers also. At Bhishma's command, thousands of Kuru troops surrounded Arjuna and assailed him. The Pandava spun around in his chariot with his bow constantly drawn in a circle. Sometimes he shot with his left and sometimes his right arm. Blazing arrows went in all directions and the Kuru force was torn apart. Arjuna appeared in the battle like the scorching midday sun with its unbearable rays. Kuru horses leapt down from their cars and fled, throwing aside their weapons. Kuru heroes leapt down from their cars and fled, throwing aside their weapons. Horsemen turned and drove their horses away in terror. The Kurus retreated with difficulty, falling over the bodies of men, elephants, and horses, right? So they're going to follow the other ones, but then there's so many dead ones also, so it's not working so well. Because then here is, that's what he said, it's the last thing. So he's the last hero that he's fighting with. So with him, then the whole army will attack. And then with him attacking, right, because he's the general there. And so with the general, all the army will come along. The others might come out and fight individually, but when you fight with the general, you fight with the army. And so therefore then he they all come forward, and so he just wipes out the army. Duryodhana, Karna, Kripa, Drona, Ashwapana, then Ashwatthama, then rushed towards Arjuna together. They covered it with so many arrows that no part of his body was visible. Even amid that onslaught, Arjuna maintained his calm and invoked the Agnyastra, summoning the fire god's invincible power. That weapon sent hundreds of thousands of flaming arrows and darts at the Kurus and drove them back. Arjuna then saw Bhishma standing before him on his chariot. Ganga's son was smiling. In his shining coat of mail, it shone like a white mountain at sunrise. He lifted his golden-plated bow and fired a dozen arrows, which struck the roaring monkey on Arjuna's banner, shooting it at Hanuman. Pushing aside the affection he felt for the old Kuru leader, Arjuna sent a huge dart that broke down the white umbrella over his head, right? Because otherwise, you see, he didn't kill his charioteers, his umbrella, because these are all points of respect, but now he shot at his flag, you know, and that's Hanuman there. So he knocked down his umbrella. He quickly followed it with arrows that severed his flagstaff and killed the two warriors protecting his flanks. Arjuna wounded Bhishma's horses and brought his chariot to a halt. Right, so he didn't kill them, he just wounded them so they stopped. Bhishma became angry and he began to invoke divine weapons. A massive hail of arrows, darts, and spears fell blazing from the sky. Arjuna instantly checked the attack with his own celestial missiles. He counterattacked Bhishma with volumes of arrows that sped towards him. Bhishma received Arjuna's assault like a hill receiving a cloud. He dexterously cut down all the arrows as they flew, and they fell in pieces to the ground. The battle between Arjuna and Bhishma raged fiercely for some time as the Kurus watched in amazement. It seemed as if Indra were contending with Bali, the Asura king. Neither side paused in the fight. Arjuna's Gandiva had become a circle of fire, and Bhishma danced on his chariot like a youth. For the Kshatriyas, then, they're so inspired in all this, so then they are able to do everything very, you know, even though he's the eldest there, he's dancing like a young person. Finally, Arjuna succeeded in baffling Bhishma with a mystical weapon that sent an uncountable number of golden-winged arrows in repeated waves. So generally, you chant mantra, and then it sends so many arrows. Like you chant one, and it goes into 50,000 or 100,000 arrows. But this is the one, the mantra sends them in waves. So you have that many coming, then again, like this. So, yes. So that's a very how you say? You know, it's a special, as we said, and you know, mystical weapon. Bhishma fell back on his chariot, and seeing his opportunity, Arjuna severed his bow with a razor-faced arrow. Immediately after that, he shot 10 steel shafts of head, shaped like calf's teeth. Those deadly arrows pierced Bhishma's breast. The Kuru chief was stunned, and he stood leaning on the pole of his chariot for some time. Seeing him senseless, his charioteer turned the chariot and carried him away. Okay, so how the rest of the battle unfolds, we'll see in the next class. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.